It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do, so act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Welcome back to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with
Celia Finkelstein,
Helen Hong,
and Angela Gullner.
Yay!
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
So we are continuing our discussion about body image into our group discussion. Whoops.
Great. Very, very upset.
Was like, I thought there was nothing there, but I think it was just a bag.
Anyway, yeah, so thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Sorry the laugh was so loud in your ear.
It's okay. So does anybody want to like jump in and start about how they feel about like general body image of women in this country and in the world?
I started following recently on Instagram like curvy models. Curvy model sites and like, you know, women who models who are curvier. Mm-hmm. There's a whole plethora of them in Instagram.
What a revolution.
It actually makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
Because it's just, because it's so rare to just see different body types, mm-hmm. you know, in the media. You just see magazines and TV. You just see the same type of body type. And just to see, sometimes I used to go to Lohmann's. When Lohmann's was open, they used to have an open air dressing room. And I would go in there and just see like naked Russian heavyset ladies and go, wow, like I have never seen a body like that. And
yeah.
It was just refreshing to see different types of bodies and like beautiful women just owning their, you know, their different body types. So I suggest to all of you, you know, follow different people on Instagram if you are on Instagram and just, you know, just to have a reset in your brain of seeing different types of bodies.
That's the first time I saw that too, going into a gym with women, like Asian women, all women. I'm like, they're not ashamed of their body. It's not perfect. You know, because I didn't grow up like that. You know, I grew up with a lot of shame around, you know, well, it was different because it was black, but it was still like if you didn't have
Also religious and from Atlanta.
So. Yeah, on the Bible Belt. And it's like, you know, but when the black community, you got to have the butt and you got to have like the small waist or something like that. But I know it's different in every community, but it wasn't like, I'm like, ooh, she ain't got no ass. She don't care, huh? That's good, you know? But
that's true. And that is such a like indicative of that it's all invented.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you go to Asia, having a big butt is the kiss of fucking death.
Yeah, see,
having big boobs, no way. See? You're the last person chosen. So it's all invented.
And
there's just a different set of beauty standards there.
It's all invented.
And so it's all just invented bullshit.
It. Yeah.
You know, so in Asia, like what's beautiful is flat chest, flat butt, no hips, just very streamlined, like a 10-year-old boy.
No curves. Yeah,
10-year-old boy is hot in Asia.
Exactly. And that's just like bring me back to the model. Remember the model that took the picture of the lady in the locker room.
Planet
Fitness. Yeah, because she was like, oh my God, if I got to look at you, you got, and she's still in that mindset. She has totally accepted this constructed, invented bullshit.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And then projected it onto other people.
Exactly. Exactly. It was totally projected.
It's like, so hard not to when it's the only thing that you're ever allowed to see. Like for me, the first time I started to see different women's bodies was when I started pole dancing. Mm. And like the women all looked totally different. And it was the first time I allowed myself to really like look at women's bodies because like primarily you're inundated with like models and that particular body type. And I grew up in the South where like, God, if you're anything other than like highlighted, blonde, thin, tan, you might as well kill yourself. And so like watching these women be sexy for no one other than ourselves.
Yes.
And in these bodies that I was like, oh my God, her body is so beautiful.
Yes.
When I look at my own and I'm like, it was so revolutionary to me to be able to see those women's bodies. And I think like I had to forgive myself for a long time of being judgmental about myself and others because like, how can you not to a certain degree have that mindset? Mm-hmm. And so how do we like shift early enough so that women don't live long enough to become that.
Yeah. Because I just started
in the locker room.
Right. I just started embracing my body just like you, because my stomach area was always my thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, they're looking at my stomach, you know. And now I was just telling Susie, it just clicked, and I'm starting loving myself more. And I'm like, I got a stomach, and I'm gonna walk with my head up high. Hey, it's a stomach, you know.
Totally.
It don't take my beauty away. I always thought, if I didn't have this, just get rid of this, just this, you know. And it's like, it's stopping me from living, for God's sake.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's and a part of my anatomy. It's
and like, I feel like the thing is, like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
God, I love looking at a woman's, like, stomach and curves. And, like, I was just talking about this with someone. Like, I love, like, I tend to date, like, dudes with kind of, like, bellies. I love them. Like,
yeah.
I think just curves and, like,
I can get into
body and,
too.
Like, touching, like, having something to touch is really lovely. And that's not to say that it's not that, like, thinness is a problem. Like, there's, every body is sort of, like, has its magic.
Yeah.
And I think,
yeah,
like, we have to
everybody
sort of...
Everybody has its magic.
Start teaching that earlier. Because I was also thinking about this in terms of a friend of mine who's Filipina. She's noticed that, like, her niece has started having crushes on, like, men of all colors. And she's like, that was not a thing when I was a kid. Because she was like, all I ever saw was white guys. Mm. And so I only had crushes on white men.
Yeah.
And her niece has crushes on men of all color. And like,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, and she was like, that's so amazing. As we start to see these different body types, as we start to see so many people being represented, I think that's how we start changing it. Representation is the way it, like, moves, I think.
I think social media helped too, like Helen said, because they have, like, these sites, BBW. I don't know if it stands for Big Beautiful Women or a beautiful black woman, but how are they getting their money on? These girls got followers, thousands and thousands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't care. They got a life because of that, you know, finally, you know, and they're so confident too. And it's like, well, I see them on talk shows, but they get on there twerking. Hey, they like this, boo. I don't know what you're talking about. Ooh, that's why I got 5,000 followers. I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think every body is valid.
Yeah. I like that slogan you said. Everybody
has its magic.
They should start that.
I just made that up. I like it.
They should put that in school.
They should
put
that in school.
Okay.
Trademark it.
Yeah.
That's it. I've trademarked it, guys.
Send it to the WGA.
No one steal that. It's mine.
It's like a double-edged sword with social media, though. You know, there are these accounts you can follow and these trends you can follow that are so incredibly empowering. And I think I'm just speaking from personal experience, but I have felt that as I've gotten older, it's been easier for me to embrace what feels like a more empowering, more actualized type of image. But when I was 16 and 17, I know that if I had an Instagram then, it would have all been Fitspo and whatever that fucking beach body bullshit is that's going on. And these women and men who are doing yoga constantly and eating clean food and being so green, especially here in California, it's able to present like a really toxic, dark tunnel of unachievable, not just body image, but entire lifestyles built on things that require all of your money and time.
That's what I was just going to say, is like, that's part of like, hell, like when I was living in New York, I was so fucking broke and I was working so much that I was eating so much fast food because that's all I could afford. That's all I had time for. And that's the life. And like, I don't regret any of that. Like, I mean, I felt like shit all the time, but that's what I had to do to survive, to be in New York, to follow my dream. And like, that's not any less valid. Like, you know, it's people who have money and like have resources and can be healthy, you know, like it's not easy to be healthy.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think that's why you do, you know, that's why I am pushing, like, because the kids aren't getting off of Instagram.
No,
like, it'd be great if they did.
No, it's going to just get
more. It'd be
more.
Great if they did put the phone down and all that, but they're not.
Yeah.
Instagram is here to stay. Snapchat is here to stay. And that's how where all the kids are getting their imagery now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm pushing, like, let's follow the BBW on Instagram.
Yeah,
let's make the big girls have as many followers as Kendall freaking Jenner.
Yeah.
So that there's a balance there.
Fuck Kendall Jenner.
Yeah. I think that's why they got the big, beautiful girl. What's her name? The one with the dark hair?
Tess Holliday?
Yeah.
Or
Ashley Graham?
Yeah, Ashley Graham. the what? Because I think social media, they saw that the big beautiful woman had a lot of followers, and they're like, "This is a trend."
Exactly.
You know, we need some big women to represent.
She posts pictures of herself. Like, there's another good one that's like, there's a great Instagram that I just started following.
And Christie Brinkley.
It's like unphotoshopped or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's all these pictures of models that before they're photoshopped. And it's great.
I love that. I love
you're like, oh,
I'm going to find that.
And yeah. Ashley Graham is on there with like tons of cellulite. And
my roommate. Like,
she's still hot.
She still is.
She is still hot.
My roommate makes fun of me because I'll post like the most ugly photos of myself on Instagram, on my Instagram. Like if you look, it's like goofy. Like I'm just a goofball. And she's like, I can't believe you like post this stuff, not just like all sexy photos, and I'm
all
like,
perfect.
That's not a reality. Like, that's not a reality.
And you're doing a good service for, you know, if there are younger girls following you, you know, they'll see like, oh, okay, it's okay to sometimes look glammed up, especially, and sometimes to not.
Especially as a feminist, a young feminist.
I want to on the social media tip, the Militant Baker is also a great person to follow. Her name is Jess Baker. She's dope. I had dinner with her like a couple years ago and we just bonded immediately. She's like a total body positive, activist feminist. She talks a lot about like body positivity, also, mental health. And she's great at amplifying people who are also like working on like body positivity and like, and she's
just found her.
She's dope.
63.4
She's so great because she like really amplifies the voices of people that she thinks should be amplified.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know who else is super into that too is Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, like, that
interesting.
Did you see that TED talk of hers about bullying?
Did you guys hear about the Dancing Man?
No.
The Dancing Man was this guy who he's from England, somewhere in England. I can't remember where. And he was dancing in a club and he's like a bigger guy, and someone took a photo of him and like, you know, like making fun of him basically.
Oh.
And it went viral.
Yeah, I remember.
And then it like went anti-viral, and then another group of women actually flew him to LA and threw him a dance party.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And Monica Lewinsky was like a big part of it.
Just being jubilant.
He was just like really happily dancing.
He was just really being joyful.
Yeah.
And then somebody was trying to cut him down.
Exactly,
Yeah.
That's sad. You can't be happy and fat and dancing. That's sad.
That's ridiculous. Everybody should be able to dance.
That's like, that says more about the person trying to cut them down.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, how depraved are you in your own soul?
It's insanity. I can look back now and I always just concentrate on my stomach, I'm like, it's sad. You can't even live
of all the time and energy you've spent focusing on your stomach and what you could have done with that.
Oh, my God.
If you had focused it on bettering yourself or like, you know, like elevating yourself.
Exactly.
There's someone in my life, very important in my life, who they pick apart every person and they articulate it out to me a lot, and they always have in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fucking frustrating when it happens. And I'm like, do you know, like, you could rule the world with the... I'm like,
I did an exercise once. A friend of mine suggested it, or I read it somewhere. I tried going for a full day without saying one negative thing about myself out loud, and it was so hard. And I didn't realize how insidious it is to just constantly be like, ugh. You know, we can't take compliments as women. You know what I mean? If I see you, and like Amy Schumer has a great sketch about that.
Yeah.
Like, women are not able to, but even, you know, like just not saying, and it's possible to not think it, but to just not say it out loud, like a negative thing. Oh, great dress. Ugh, I got it at Target. You know,
whatever.
I got it on sale. It's all I can afford. Or like, you know, oh, these old things. Or, you know, just not saying anything negative about yourself for even half a day is so challenging. But I put that challenge out to all of you listening and to everyone in this room. Like, try it for a day. It actually really does.
And stop saying negative things about other people, too. Like, I think both. And the thing is like, the more that you can do that, the more that you're going to train your brain not think it.
Yeah.
So freeing.
I'm just glad I turned that corner, because I just know this week I just started just appreciating myself so much more. Everything about me, my stuff, everything.
What was it that allowed you to make that transition?
I think because right now I'm going through a lot of uneasiness in my life right now, like with my roommate situation, and I feel like they're doing everything to like... like degrade me, make me feel bad. And it's just through all my experiences in life and my spirituality. It's like, really? Come on. You know, I love myself. And I just started bracing myself a little bit more every day to the point where I'm like, I love myself, you know, period. It doesn't matter.
So you just double downed on you. That's cool.
I just doubled down because I had nowhere else to go. It's like, they're degrading me more than I degraded myself. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, whoa, I have to pick up the piece. I have to keep going. I have to keep focused. And when I'm doing things like this, positive things in my life, and I do comedy and my comedy is positive, it's like, that's not my life. Mm-hmm. That's false. That's a falsehood. What's real is I love myself. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's the other thing too about body image and like mind health. It's like, it's different for everyone. And we forget that. And like, everybody has a different a trail that they have to be on, you know. And like my mom has celiac, mm-hmm. so like she can't, like she gets sick from gluten, and so, you know, like that's what healthy for her is. But like, I fucking love bread, and I'm think that I'm a very healthy person, you know, like. And yeah, the more that we like pick apart how other people are like living and being and doing is like, I think that like that's only toxic. There's no there's no positive. That's
and this projection is some kind of poison in you that mm-hmm. you want to spew it on everybody. Because I feel good when people get to express themselves, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yay! Because I always wanted to do that, and I never. People are like, you do this. Just the other day, on a porch, another female. She's supposed to be a feminist and everything. And I was just talking, expressing myself on the comments. She was like, you need to change all that. You need to change your chakras, I don't even know what it is. Oh, whatever she was saying, all this. And I was like, who the fuck are you to tell a grown woman to tell them to change all of that? And I was like, I don't, you know.
Also, that's not how you give that advice. Like, if you really feel that someone close, and like, if someone close to you, if you feel like they aren't like leading their best life, you don't just like tell them that they need to change. You like, like, that's not how you
everything.
You know, like,
be not yourself.
Exactly. Change everything about you, and then you'll be much better.
Love you so much. Be different.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. That's exactly what she was saying. Be but, not yourself. And I was like, okay, this is like the best time.
Why don't we just not hang out?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just not hang out.
Yeah, that's the first thing you should change. You know what I'm going to change first? Not hanging out with
you. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get you out of here.
Sweetie.
Babe loves Helen.
Oh, my God.
I know. You two are.
I've never seen that.
You two are in love now.
Babe loves Helen.
Well, I'm like so thirsty for a dog right now. I'm like,
you can just have her. Take her. I'm not attached to her at all.
I'm like dog crazy. Like, people get like baby crazy.
Yeah.
When they
I'm baby crazy.
That's what
I'm like doggy crazy. Like, I'm mad.
I'm probably crazy now.
Do it.
Look
today.
Yeah.
Get one.
Are you
going
to get one?
I'm moving next month to get one.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in a no dog building. So I'm moving next month with a friend of mine.
Your life is going to get so much better.
Yeah, that's
literally what I said to her when she,
I've been so hungry for a dog that literally the minute I move into the spot, I'm going to like put my last box down and then go to the pound.
Get a dog.
Like immediately.
Yes.
Can I take three?
Yes.
Can I
Who's
those?
Coming up?
Yeah.
Can I have those four wrapped up to go?
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. It's the greatest thing.
It's like my goal in life. Like, when I envision my life, like after I'm a millionaire and successful, like I just want a house on the beach with a ton of dogs.
Same. Yeah. That's like, I don't want to be on the beach, but house and dogs is like.
House.
On a big ranch of like a bunch of just wild dogs.
Yes.
Not wild dogs, rescued dogs. Right. Like, it to be kind of wild though, a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I like to see them in that natural environment and what they like to do.
Yeah.
Because I hate when people are like, come on. And they like in Runyon Canyon having a ball. You know, they run up and I'm like, let him play.
Babe loves Runyon.
Oh,
Babe loves Runyon. She's a goat, like you said.
She looks like a goat.
She's a mountain goat, and she like climbs on the scales the sides of the mountain.
So cute.
She fucking loves Runyon. It's great. She's living her best life for sure. Look at her.
So, how was body image in your life growing up? Was that a big thing for you in high school?
Oh yeah.
Did you get bullied or did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have people called me Angela Gag Me Gullner.
What?
Yeah.
Fucking A.
I know.
Not heard at all.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Fucking and when A. I got anorexic, I got so much attention from the popular girls. They loved me.
Oh my God. Yeah. You were living mean girls.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They would come up to me and be like, oh my God, you look so good. Like, can you like share some of your diet tips with me?
No.
Like,
you're like, kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Yeah. Kill yourself. That's what I'm doing. It's working.
My roommate always talks about how, like, when she was super broke, she was like, just drinking a lot of green juice and, like, not eating a proper food, yeah. you know, because she was just so fucking broke. And everyone was like, God, you look so good. Like, and she was like, that was the time period of my life that I was the most complimented. And, yeah, I was just, like, so dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I had the same.
Twisted world we live in now. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, you look amazing. What's happening? Cancer?
Tig Notaro has that joke. Tig Notaro has a joke about that. Like, how the she was, like, getting her breast examined, and the woman was like, oh my God, your stomach's so flat. What do you do? And she's like, I'm dying.
Dying.
I was suicidally depressed, had just come out of a psychiatric hospital and went to some group thing. And this woman walked up to me and she's like, you look amazing. Wow. And I was like, thank you. Depression agrees with me. Like, I was like, I literally 3 days ago was going to off myself. Yes. But I'm glad to know you think I look hot.
Yeah. It took that to make me look amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait till you see me in the coffin.
Yeah.
I want to think I look so good
when I take all that bike in. Wow. Yeah. It's always so crazy to me when people... Because they have no clue, right? They have no clue what's happening for you, and they just assume that that's what you want.
Yes, right.
And that's right. what you're desperate for, yeah. and that's how they make you feel good. And almost every time, I'm sort of left going, like, that wasn't the goal. Right. Like, that's really not the point. And right. I'm always so blown away by how excited they are for you, not knowing anything that's happening behind right. it.
That's like the girl that played Ugly Betty. She said that people come up to her, oh, my God, America you're not really Ferreira. Yeah, you're not really ugly. You're really, like, pretty. And she's like, they want me to feel good about that. Right. That's not
right.
nothing to feel good about. That, I'm really pretty in person. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. that's not the biggest thing. It's like my accomplishments in life.
And America Ferreira is a boss ass yeah. bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she said that's she's moving and shaking.
She is way more than her. That's how, I was just going to say, like, that's like, with men, like, immediately I can just like, yep, nope, you're not for me, because like they just, you know, like some of them will just be like, God, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so beautiful, over and over and over again, and they think that like this is a compliment, mm-hmm. but like it's really not. Mm-hmm. It's just it's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of like I'm like, my looks are like maybe 5% of who I mm-hmm. am, mm-hmm. if even. Like that's there's that so
your priorities
much more.
Line up with their priorities.
Yeah.
Right.
About
you. Right, right. Yeah. And I'm like, do you know like I have a podcast, like, I do stand-up, I'm an activist, like, what? Like, no, this is not what I wanted. I don't want to sit with you and talk about
and
how
pretty
I am.
Yeah,
and be pretty. Yeah. Because, like, there are different versions of what I look like, you know? Like,
yeah, because
so
you know who's pretty? Kendall Jenner.
I can't fuck Kendall Jenner. It's so boring! It's like, yawn. Oh, so you think I'm pretty? Great. What a revolution.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And you didn't have anything to do with it anyway, unless you are one of the the Kardashians and you made yourself look like that. But
yeah, that's kind of art, I suppose.
But I'll say something, because I was really overweight when I was a kid, and I was not the pretty one in my family. Like, my cousin was the pretty one, and I was the smart one. And all I ever wanted to be was pretty.
Yeah. And all she ever wanted to be
was smart.
Yeah.
And the thing is, by the way, she's wicked smart and like an amazing writer. And I think I am also very pretty. So like, but for so long we were put into these categories. Yeah. And so actually like all I ever wanted was for someone to tell me that I was pretty. Right. And so a lot of my behaviors that were harmful for a really long time were in search of someone who would tell me that.
Yeah. Right.
And validate so it, like, it's this sort of bizarre thing where like, because I still find myself craving it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
If someone
yeah.
doesn't tell me enough or
yeah.
I at all, with that really
I'm
strongly.
Like, you think I'm pretty, like, okay, I'm smart and funny, fine. But, yeah, but like, yeah. do you think I'm pretty?
Yeah.
Like, because that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
And I have this joke that I'm like, a hot guy told me that I was smart and funny, which is a great way of finding out we're never going to fuck. So like, for me, it's like, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, great. Well, that's the end of that.
Yeah,
right. So it's really interesting. And when I hear, because for a long time, I was like, everyone must want that. And then I realized that actually, no.
Well, yeah. And I grew up being the one. Yeah. Like, because like, when I was born, I had a full head of black hair. So, like, I was just, like, a cute baby, like, immediately. And it was, like, my dog, people come up to her constantly and are like, oh, my God, your dog is so cute, so cute. And my mom and I went to Runyon, and my mom was like, Jesus, this is, like, when you were an infant, like, the amount of people that would come up. And it creates so much fucking pressure. And, like, I know how privileged I am, and I know how privileged I sound and how, like, stupid this sounds, but, like, I told my mentor one time when I was, like, drunk and I was, like, kind of in a cryy state. Like, I wasn't crying, but I was, like, kind of weepy, you know? I told her, I was like, if something ever happened to my face, I would have to go to therapy because it would be such a hard thing. Like, my life would completely change, I think, because there is so much of that. Like, mm-hmm. I just get told how beautiful I am every day, all day long. And I know that sounds, like, not something to be, like, upset about, but it's so much fucking pressure. Mm-hmm. It's so much pressure.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I came out here with another girl named Tracy, we were like the same, from Atlanta, the same color, same everything, but she was always the pretty one. Like, they always like we were like, we were sisters. We said we were sisters. We came out here.
She must have been like fucking gorgeous.
They because... always like went to her. I was like, fine, because then I'll be the funny one and this and that. But then it got to the point where it was like, I lost my identity. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I think I'm somewhat attractive, but I had totally given it away. You know, like, just to be, like, to have some identity. Well, I'm the funny one. And it's like, I kind of relate to what you're saying. It's like, you're stuck in a box. And it's mm-hmm. like, no.
The way that I deflect it a lot is I'll be like, yeah, my face is very symmetrical. I get it. Like, that's all it is. That's literally all attraction is. Yeah. Like, and also we have, like, you know, we have such fake, skewed ideals of, like, European, like, that's what's, you know, like, that's what we're told is, like...
Where your nose is, and your eyes, and your thing, but,
That's all it is. That's literally all it is. Yeah. I watched this documentary called, The Science of Attraction, and it was super fucking interesting. They studied women, throughout the, like, so they would take a picture of them every day for, like, a month. And they found that women are their most attractive when they're ovulating. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just crazy. There's
and
like
women are more most attracted to men when they're ovulating. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about ovulation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Get that baby.
Yeah.
Also,
I saw the same documentary, and I found the most fascinating thing that when women are ovulating, you pick sexier clothes.
Yeah.
Like, subconsciously. Hmm. You pick brighter colors to wear and sexier
clothes.
Because you want to get animals. It on.
Yeah, that's when you should go shopping.
You
want
to get it on. Go yeah, totally subconsciously. You don't even know it's happening.
Yeah, that makes... Yeah. I think
Yeah, that was a really interesting documentary.
And we blush is because it means, like, when your cheeks are flushed, you're fertile.
Oh.
And so that's why we, like... blush. Like, that's why we're attracted to mm-hmm. that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's all about, like...
Everything regarding to attraction is about making babies.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, like, the reason why men like long hair mm-hmm. is because it's something about, like, you're right, if you're not vitamin deficient, like, if you have you have a good hair and good nails.
Right.
That's why men like good manicures and long
hair. And your breasts grow, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get... Yeah. But, okay, so I can see that.
It does. It all comes back to, like...
What about pheromones, though? Aren't they attracted to those, too?
Like,
Yeah.
But those are dependent on who you're attracted to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, that's what the pheromones are like, oh, I should mate with this person.
Mm-hmm. That is a big one for me.
That's so animal-like.
Smell is a huge thing.
Really?
And that's... You should listen to that because... Did you remember from that documentary... The closer you are genetically to someone, the more disgusted you are by their smell.
Whoa!
Incest.
I love
to prevent incest. So if I gave any of you a t-shirt that your brother was wearing while working out, you'd be like, ew, stink.
Right.
You're biologically hardwired to not want to fuck your brother.
Oh my God. That's dated a guy like that. He used to play basketball and come over my house after practice. And I was like, oh, he was so disgusting. Yeah, he was cute and everything. He's just disgusting. I'm like, how dare you come up and you want to kiss?
Yeah. My brother.
He must have been my brother.
Yeah, that means that you're genetically too similar to him.
Yeah.
My brother was a hockey goalie. Growing up.
Gross.
Oh my God. Having to be in the car with his pads. I can still smell it.
There's nothing worse than sweaty hockey stick.
And even more so for you because he's your brother.
Yeah, exactly. This is so awful.
That is true because I've smelled guys sweat before and it's like attractive. It's like,
yeah.
Because you're sweating. That's
why. That means you'd make good babies with that person.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's fascinating. Everything in relation to attraction or sex, it's so genetic and hardwired. It's actually so fascinating. Like,
yeah, I love
it. It's all evolution.
Yeah, it's like so animal-like, you know? How you girls feel? Because we're mostly comedians. Are you a comic too?
I'm not a stand-up, but I write comedy.
She's really funny.
With me, it helped me to get into my femininity with, I don't know, I just always, people always try to make me feel like I was too hard, too loud, too confident, too something. And I still don't know what it is. Like, I try to hold back. Like, when I first met Susie, I was like, she's white, she's pretty, she's young. I don't know if I'm going to be too... You know, but she embraced it. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know? Because I was like, you're too loud. You just like with the girls, like, you need to change. Just like you were saying, don't be you. When I'm me, it's like, it's not accepted. Like, you're not good enough. Stop it. Don't say this. And it's just, I don't know how to use it with my femininity. Like, but comedy helped me to do that because I can express those shortcomings and still feel like a female. Like, but it's hard. It's been a hard thing for me to...
Society makes you
I guess that's
think
how people
that...
feel if they're like if they're overweight. It's just like with my confidence, like I talk country, I'm loud. I'm like, can I just be me though? I mean, and a lot of people are like, well, no, don't say that. Don't be, you know, like one guy told me, he said, you ain't got to be like that. You can be a bitch. And I was like, what? Like, why would I don't even know how to not be me and be a bitch. Yeah, it was like a rapper. We was in Atlanta and we got in there Nemo and stuff. And like the Too Short, the rapper. And it's some guy and his little entourage. He's like, and I just started talking being me because I'm like drunk. He's like, oh, wait a minute. You ain't got to be like that. And another guy, a comedian, when I first came out here to Comedy Union, he came up to me trying to hug me and all that. He's trying to talk to me. And I started talking. He's like, oh, you sound like that. You know, it's like, it's always something about who me being me, you know? And it's...
But then you got to think, like, why would you want to attract those people?
Yeah, no, you don't want to hang out with them.
And I don't. And it's like, that's what I had to fight against, like, to, like, embrace myself. It's like, I'm surprised, like you said, what made me turn that corner. It's like, because they're degrading me more than I would degrade myself. So it's like...
You don't want those people in your life. So yeah. Screw them.
And something when she said, you need to change all this. And I'm like, no, I'm loving myself right now. When she said, it just snapped. It's like, let me go all full steam ahead.
And if they're not down with you, then bye, boy.
Yeah, exactly. I also think that when someone says that, because I had someone recently sort of, I struggle, I relate to what you're saying, because I struggle a lot with like being too much.
Yeah.
And when I was young, a lot of people would say like, oh, I was scared when I first met you. And so, because I seemed to be intimidating or harsh, right?
Yes.
So then I sort of like softened myself and I went into a whole other direction where like, I became a person that I didn't like. I literally couldn't tell you what my favorite movie was because I didn't want to hurt your feelings if it wasn't your favorite movie.
Julia Roberts and the eggs in that horrible movie.
Which one?
Oh yeah, yeah. Runaway Bride.
Runaway Bride.
Oh God, I've never seen it.
Every time he asks her,
oh my God, you got to see that movie.
Every guy she's with, she likes her eggs a different way.
That's exactly it. I would like when I started dating this guy who was like a horror movie fan. I was like, I love horror movies. And then another guy liked punk, and I was like, I love punk. And then, like, I couldn't name a single fucking horror movie or punk. You know what I mean? Like, but so I sort of changed myself to be whatever they wanted. And recently, someone, and I was sort of struggling with, like, dating stuff. And I was like, why do my relationships not keep not working out? And she was like, you're just too much. You need to be, like, half of yourself.
That's what I get.
And I was like,
my God.
And at first, I was like, God, I think maybe she's right. I am too much.
Yeah.
And then the last, like, couple relationships, they ended and I had that sort of feeling. I was like, right, I was too much. I was too vulnerable. And I kept sort of thinking about it. And now I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. This is how much I am.
Yeah.
And to like shut it down means that's so much more fucking work than just being myself.
Yeah.
And if you don't like me being as much as I am, then you can go find someone who's smaller or quieter or not as angry or knows punk music, like whatever the fuck. I don't fucking care anymore because it's so exhausting to be some version of you that everyone will like.
I totally relate.
It's fucking tiresome.
It's tiresome.
And when people say those things, like you need to be half as much, all it tells me is who they are.
Yes.
Because that just means that they cannot handle you.
Yes.
And they cannot handle what is too much about them.
Yeah.
What they think is too much about them.
Exactly.
And I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be too much, then I'm going to be too much alone with my three cats. And going to be alone with my three cats and be too much.
That's right.
My too many cats. But like,
too much cats.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had a conversation with my therapist about this because I told her, I was like, I'm a lot. And I don't mean that negatively. It took me a while to not mean that negatively. But like, I said to her, I'm just a lot. And then I was sort of like sleeping with this guy, and he said to me, he was like, after we had sex one time, he was like, God, you're just like a lot, but it's the best. And I was like, we can keep sleeping together.
Yeah.
We can keep sleeping together.
I like that.
Yeah. You identify that I'm a lot, and I am.
That's good.
And you like it.
I wonder if a man has ever thought of himself as being a lot.
Absolutely not.
Never.
No.
I mean, maybe like one or two. I can answer that
question. Maybe like a gay man.
You know? Like, but that's like a gay man.
I did ask this question recently because this was something dumb on Facebook, but I posted something and then someone made a comment that I really pissed me off, and I wanted to respond and I didn't, and I was texting with a friend about it, and he's a guy, and I was like, have you ever for one moment considered not responding to something because someone might think you're crazy, mm-hmm. or someone might think, you know, whatever? And he was like, absolutely not once. And I just realized how much we censor ourselves, and that idea of like, I don't think that the majority of men think they're too much, and I don't think that they consider how their personalities might affect
other.
I think they just sort of operate in the world, and mm-hmm. I yearn for that kind of confidence. Like, on one hand, I'm like, ugh, shut up, you're annoying. But on the other, I'm like, fuck, man, you're so lucky to have that kind of confidence.
How does that feel?
Yeah.
You know?
I really do genuinely wonder how it feels.
Yeah, me too. So, and I think that's part of, we're taught that we need to be liked, you know? And
part of being likable is being small. And that means small in every way. That
and
means quite, small physically.
And be seen and not heard. Have y'all heard that? Be seen and not heard?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I heard that.
I mean,
that.
It's all about being as small as possible. Small physically, small emotionally.
Everything.
Don't tell anyone, you know, all of that.
I think it's like, you eventually have
to. So that's why I always felt like a piece of shit, and I was just kidding.
Eventually you have to get to the point where like you realize that like not everybody is going to like you, and that's fine, and like that has to be fine, and like, and so then, because if everybody's going to like you, then you have to be small.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be vanilla, you know?
Yeah.
Not that, maybe vanilla's the wrong, because vanilla's great, but you know, you have to be like,
you just have to be bland. You have to be
bland.
Unspecific.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, because that's the when you sort of like
a CBS sitcom.
Exactly.
Exactly. Sitcom.
Yeah.
So that the millions will like you, but nobody's really in love with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Margaret Cho has a great quote about that. She has a great bit. Like, years ago, she had a bit where like she came to a dinner party or something, and someone was like, "Margaret, don't go there." And she was like, "Don't go there. I live there." I built a fucking house there.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah.
And it's so true because it's like Margaret Cho.
Right.
She's a lot.
Yeah.
She's great.
I love funny women.
There's no other Margaret Cho.
Right. What would we do without funny women? We wouldn't even be able to express ourselves through them. You know, that's how I started learning. Oh, I could be. Oh, okay. You know, when I hear funny women, they don't give a damn. They reach that point. It's like.
Really? Well, why do you think it takes so many female comics to get, like, you know, when a female comic is famous, she's generally, like, in her 30s at the very least, you know? Like, it takes, you have
and
to.
And it's one at the top.
You have to get to, you have to get to that point of self-acceptance.
Yeah.
Because it takes that many years to throw off this horrible conditioning.
Yes.
This conditioning, being raised as a woman, like, be seen, not heard, all that
stuff.
That's true. Which we all get.
Yeah. And then the comics, the guy comics are 19, 20. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're at their prime.
Yeah.
And you see a woman coming along, she's going to be in her 30s. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I know. I wonder how much of that is, like, how much they're willing to fail versus how much women are willing to fail. Like, I think about this a lot because I tend to date comics as well. And, like, they, you know, I noticed this one time many years ago, and like one comic, we would obviously fall into bits because that's what happens. And so like, he would just like, we'd be doing bits and I would spend like 30 minutes like rewording a text to make sure it was as funny as possible. And then I would realize he would just fire them off and he didn't give a shit if they were funny. But I sort of felt this weight about whether or not it was funny enough.
It's male privilege.
It made me start thinking about like the male comics I know really don't hesitate to fail, do a bad joke, do a shitty show, write a bad sketch, and then they just can move right on. And I feel like the female comics I know, and I mean, I don't know if I qualify as much as a comic anymore as like just a comedy writer, but like I find myself really wanting to make sure it's right and funny and good enough. Me because too. If I fail, then I feel like I have the weight of everyone else yes. behind me. And so I wonder if part of how long it takes is how much effort we're sort of putting in to make sure it is as excellent as possible right. so we don't fuck anybody over. And I don't know if that's only me.
Well, you know, the general consensus is that women aren't funny. I mean, you have heads of entertainment industry saying that, you know, males.
Although I'm happy to say, I think the younger generation is
moving. Yeah, I think that's really true.
Good. But the fact whenever people say that, I'm just like, well, you haven't seen enough.
Yeah, but right. I think people in their 20s and younger now are that's a dead thing because look at Amy Schumer and Ali Wong and Tina Taro and these women are like crushing it.
Yeah,
and I think I get because I'm Asian, I get compared to Ali Wong all the time, and I have so many young people coming up to me and being like, oh my god, that Ali Wong special. I'm like, great, I love that. If she's your favorite comedian, God bless us all. You know that. Yeah. We're finally getting to a point where, like, the biggest comedy special that everybody's talking about is a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More of that, please. Yeah.
While she's pregnant, by the way.
Yeah.
So love cool.
It. Like, so love that she, like, fiercely went out and was like, yeah, bitch, I'm pregnant. Yeah.
But they said you would climb on the backs of many, like Joan Rivers and, you know.
Oh, my God. Carol Burnett. Jesus.
Yeah. I love Carol Burnett.
She's my freaking hero.
I used to sit in the house and be Carol waiting for her to come on like this.
God, yeah, I was obsessed with her.
And her questions afterwards, I did that on my first, like, hour show. I took questions afterwards, like, Carol Burnett. I was like, Carol Burnett.
That's awesome.
Love her.
I love her, too.
She's the best.
We just went into a Carol Burnett. It's
like just a moment for Carol Burnett.
Angela just dreamed off.
She was like,
everyone pull your ear for a second.
Dreaming.
I love that. Are you still here?
Oh, I'm back. Okay, I went to hang out with Carol for a second, and I have.
I love Carol Burnett. And Tracy Altman, I didn't even.
So funny.
She blew my mind. Yeah. She first did a black lady. I was like, "What? Oh, I can't understand."
So good.
Like, why? How is she fooling me? And I know that she's in sketch. You know, she's. I was like, that. She's a bad mother sucker.
Yeah.
Man. Mm-hmm. She blew my mind. I was like, oh my god, that opened me up to like comedy right there.
Nice.
Rosie O'Donnell was a big one for me.
I love Rosie O'Donnell.
Because I never saw anyone who looked like me on television, and like seeing like sort of a chubby like woman who looked like me who was funny. I was like. I want to be her.
Yeah. I like her still today. People try to call her crazy like that. I just love that she has so much of a voice in her own, you know, her own opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's, maybe I don't know her personally, right? But like the people I know who have worked with her have nothing but great things to say about her. But I really firmly am in the camp that 98% of the time, if someone's calling someone crazy, it's because she has an opinion and she doesn't want to fuck them.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I'm sorry, the word crazy when it's applied to women, I'm so skeptical of it. And that's not to say that like people don't, but it is a way of, again, making women small and telling them that they do not have a right to their opinions or an emotional
right.
Need or to stand up for themselves.
And she's the first one that busted up Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and like, think about the times that you yourself have been crazy. Like, it's literally because I had an opinion and I didn't want to fuck that person.
Yeah.
it's literally
I have been called crazy, you can pretty much draw a direct line to someone like sort of not hearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Like, not hearing you.
Right. And like, when do you, I've definitely called people crazy before, but like, that's usually like, I don't know. When I call people crazy, it's like, I'm probably the asshole.
When I'm calling someone crazy, it's meant to dismiss them.
Yeah.
And that's the grossest part of like, that's just owning the gross part of myself, which is that like, when I do that,
you're just writing it
off. I'm trying to write that person off or make them small. Less.
That's why I do it too. Yeah.
And it's not okay.
No.
It's not okay when I do it. It's not okay when anyone... But, like, that's to me what it usually means.
Yeah. I agree.
I call our president crazy.
Well, he's crazy.
Legitimately crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Also, there's just a difference between you're crazy and being mentally ill.
Yeah, no. Literally he's legitimately... Yeah. No, I hate him.
But he also has opinions and... Well, I guess I don't want
to... Nobody wants to fuck him. There is nobody who wants to fuck him. Not even his wife.
Not even his wife.
Yeah. But speaking of body image, he's the one that really... put that out there about women in their bodies and
like
with Rosie O'Donnell, she's fat, she's this, and it's like I immediately
he does that with anybody. It's not even women. Like if anybody
she's
is
fat,
attacking
she's
him,
old. Yeah.
Immediately he comes like he goes physical so quickly. It's so interesting.
Which is ironic considering what he looks like.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like it doesn't matter.
Such a troll.
Like a literal troll person.
So you can see where it come from. So old school, you know, so white, male.
Hetero, cis.
That it just comes out naturally like that. Yeah. I feel sorry for his daughter because she didn't have no choice but to be whatever she is. She probably like us, so small, you know? Because I have to be, you know, blonde, perfect, pretty, size 2.
To get my father's love.
Yeah. To just be perfect. And then he'll say, my father has to fuck me. Oh, God, just to get that kind
of
love.
To respect me. Probably. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's probably how she feel. I mean, I don't...
That's fucking very... That's a very good point.
It's gross.
Well, say that again.
Just that, like, my father has to want to fuck me for him to love me.
Because that's exactly what he said. So I'll sleep with her.
Sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Gross. Yeah.
So sad and gross.
Ugh. Man, that's... Yeah.
That's why feminism is needed. Because we have to wake up the other women. Because a lot of them are kept there. A lot of them stay there.
Yeah.
You know? Like their whole lives.
Like the sunken place for women.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, get out.
Like all the women who voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like they are like, what self-hating weird sinkhole are you in?
Yeah.
What shame spiral are you in that you would vote for this obvious misogynist troll?
So many of that, like, because I, you know, I'm from Michigan, so like I know women who voted for, I know the white women who voted for Donald Trump, and a lot of it is their husbands' opinions.
But like, what planet are you on that in the United States of America in 2017 you're going to vote the way your husband is?
Yeah, and I actually think
they're in a sucking place.
Like, I actually think that's. Yeah. I think that they are women of agency too, and I because I'm from the South, and those white women voted. Yep. You know,
Georgia's red.
Yeah, I'm from Redneck Riviera, Florida, and I think that they share those opinions just as deeply as their husbands do.
Yeah. That's what
I mean,
experience.
I really think that they think we're all a bunch of weird
sluts
who just all, want, you know, and
over-educated,
I mean, I've had those conversations.
Over-privileged. That, I mean,
snowflakes.
The independently thinking white women in my family who voted for Trump did not do it because a man told them to.
No.
They did it because that's what they, those are their values.
Yes. Absolutely. Same.
Some of them stay there forever.
Which
for
is really
it's
dark.
Even scarier.
It's really dark.
It's kind of even scarier.
Yeah.
It really is.
Like, my husband told me to. Oh, no. I'm a racist.
I'm a racist.
I'm a racist.
I don't care about you.
I don't like immigrants. I don't like people who aren't straight.
There's a woman in my building who voted for Trump, and she'll talk to... She's crazy. Like, she's actually crazy, you know? like actually probably mentally needs to see a therapist, which I see a therapist every week, so zero judgment for
therapy's
me there.
Great.
But at least you know you need to.
Yeah. Well, and she voted for Trump, and she is white, and she will talk to anybody about, like, she just brings it up and tells us all in the building why Trump is great. And it's very interesting because she actually fought in the Israeli army. So she's Israeli, and she's passing white, I guess I should say. And in her opinion, like, the Russians are ruining everything. Russia's ruining it. So, like...
Well, guess what?
And the
guess
Mexicans
who's
are
running
everything.
The president.
Guess who selected the president.
I know. And it's so backwards. And, like, and the Mexicans are ruining everything, in her opinion. But, like, she's a fucking immigrant. She's an immigrant.
I mean, but that's part of this cognitive dissonance that people create for themselves. I mean, there's that story recently, the woman who voted for Trump and her husband, who is undocumented, was just deported. I mean, I think people can... I think people can disassociate in a way so that they can say, but that's not me. I'm not like them. They're talking about the bad ones.
Right.
And so they allow themselves to decide that it's different for them and they're different. And so they can vote for this person because he's talking about someone who's not me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. And I think that's where, like, I have, you know, I know very lovely, creative, progressive people who voted for Trump, and they're white, and they did it because they think that they are somehow different, or the people that they're afraid of are different than the people who are in their families, who they basically said a giant fuck you to.
Right.
And that's the part that troubles me the most. It's not so much the people who are admittedly like, I'm a Nazi. Yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. I know you're doing exactly what you're going to do. You're a fucking Nazi. Like, of course you are. You're racist. Yeah. But the people who have deluded themselves into believing that they are good people who care about the world and still endorse this trash, that's the part that I find the most scariest. Terrifying. Yeah. And I think those are the people we have to most clearly see and look at, because I think to dismiss them as like idiots or just they're all Nazis. No, they're not. And if we don't see them clearly, then we can't change anything or deal with the situation.
I agree.
Okay, yeah. So we're just kind of finishing this conversation up without Helen. But
I mean, I think, I guess it sort of goes back to the thing about being dismissive in general.
Yeah.
Is that I think when we dismiss people as, you know, any kind of other, we don't allow ourselves to see them clearly. And the only way we deal with, we can get to the truth of anything is to look at something as it is. And I think that that's kind of why I think it's dangerous to sort of say these women voted for him because of their husbands. I think some of that is true. I think it's also really true that they just voted for him because they liked him and they think he's great and smart and good businessman.
And that's their values. Like,
and he shares their values.
Oh my God. I had a guy, I was wearing my Make Donald DeFrump Again hat. Mm-hmm. And this guy was like, oh my gosh, where did, like, how much for a hat like that? And I was like, oh, I was about to say like, oh, I don't really remember, but you can go to John Oliver's website and it's on there. And before I could even finish, he was like, because I'm voting for him. And he was clearly an immigrant. He had an accent. And I was just like my face was literally, or like my jaw just like dropped and I couldn't like even understand. And I was like, wait, but like, why are you, why? And he was like, because Hillary's such a crook. And I was like, what? Like, you think, like, I mean, sure, like you can have that opinion of her. That's fine. But like, you think that Trump isn't though? Like, and I literally said that to him. I was like, you don't think that Trump has done shady shit, like, and is a crook?
That just sounds like somebody told him that, put that in his head.
Well, she's, I think that's what's true. I mean, I think so much of that was just put in people's heads. Yeah. When you actually say, like, I mean, I know that it's kind of ultimately useless to expose their hypocrisy, but, like, when you ask a Trump voter, you know, what do you think about Trump's illegal behavior? What do you think about his problematic, secretive bullshit? They genuinely don't care. It only mattered because it was Hillary.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be reductive, but I believe that it only mattered because Hillary's a woman.
I agree.
And because we had a black president. Like, I really think that the roots of this are people.
All those things together.
Were mad. Like,
they want to take their country.
Having a black president, they were like, absolutely not. This is offensive. And also a woman, absolutely not. And so they.
And a Muslim.
And a Muslim.
Who wasn't born in America.
It was like, take our country back. Make America white again.
I mean, so much of this white is just rooted in racism and misogyny. And.
Yes.
And to sort of like pretend that people are economically anxious or like, it's just all bullshit, because they're not concerned about her being a crook. I think if you'd asked him specifically
like what she had done,
he wouldn't necessarily have anything to point to, or he would point to all of the things that had already been debunked or whatever, you know.
Right.
I think it's really easy to just sort of say a thing that you don't have the facts on. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because I think that we're already seeing people start to realize that they made a huge mistake. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his emails, though. You know?
I mean, like, his emails, but his secret.
Yeah,
his
like
I was on Bill Maher last night, and that's what the whole panel was saying. Why not the IRS? Why don't they just report, like, his taxes? Why don't they just come out with it? Why don't they don't
they just should. I don't understand. I mean, it's like, it's how I felt about when.
He said because he's being audited, and they were like, that's not.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
No, that's not a thing. Well, it's like how I felt about when everyone was so mad at the Patriots because they had their deflated footballs. Like, why the fuck are the Patriots providing the footballs that they're playing with? Why is the NFL not providing the footballs for every game? Like, that shouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're running for president, your taxes should just be.
Period.
That's it. Like, they should just be.
Big and plead.
Yeah, no, there should not even be a discussion. Like, if you're running for president, you should just have to submit your taxes immediately, and that's it. Like, how is that not, like, a law? Like, that should just be a thing.
No, you have to be born here. That's a bigger law to run for president than your taxes. That's ridiculous.
I mean,
also, he was born here.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that kills me, is, like, it was a totally false racist narrative he pushed for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump is actually doing terrible stuff, and people are not
still blaming Obama
not
for Syria, for everything,
wiretapping.
It's like, I'm gonna blame this black man till I get out of office. I got mm-hmm. 4 more years. Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I'll make it 4 more years. I fucking hope not.
And then it's Pence, and he's just even worse.
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, the thing is then we actually have someone who's like a government member, rather than, you know, like at least Pence,
he knows what government is about.
Exactly. I mean,
but Trump doesn't know anything. Did you see how he was talking about the babies and the little beautiful
babies? Oh, the beautiful babies.
Yeah, the beautiful
babies.
He
also said he would look them in the face and tell them they weren't welcome here when he was talking about them as Syrian refugees during the campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. That man is trash.
Yes. He saw one sappy Sarah McLachlan video of a kid in danger and was like, oh, okay, now I'm going to do something.
No, I mean, like, legitimately, those pictures of the chemical
attack
terrible. Are horrific.
They're terrible.
Yeah. And they should turn any.
They should. They should.
Yeah. But they should make your insides
stomachs
years ago.
Years ago.
And
for him to suddenly, because literally he was like, "No refugees, no." I think it's so entirely mind blowing that he thinks that it's somehow presidential for someone who so totally trashed these refugees for the last several years and supported Assad's regime, whether tacitly or openly, and now is like, no, these babies.
Right.
Fuck you. With no empathy
in his voice whatsoever.
Fuck you.
And the pretty
seriously,
beautiful.
I'm like, fuck please. You.
Sorry. Not sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I love
it's horrifying. No, I mean, it's horrifying. It's your Facebook it's status so that I ask if I could share. I don't remember exactly, but it was like, how can you go and bomb a country?
How can you launch missiles in a country where, like, you told those people they're not welcome?
Right.
They've needed humanitarian aid, and they've needed to be welcomed into our country, and you banned them. You know, you are banning them. You have made it difficult, pretending that they're not already going through an extreme vetting process. 2 years of vetting to get into this country, and this idea that suddenly your mind has changed in 24 hours because you saw what's been happening for years.
Right.
Yeah, you finally saw photos.
Right. Saw a video finally of what's been happening. I mean, these children have been bombed.
Dying for years and years and years. And the horrifying photos have existed for years.
For years.
Yeah.
That's why it's so sad. The babies. He was trying to rupture up some kind of emotion.
He's trying to seem like he suddenly has
a heart.
Yeah. But I think what was also telling, and I was not able to, and also deciding not to look at the news for the last couple of days because for my mental health.
It's too much.
It makes me sick.
But I did see a sort of quick quote a couple of days ago, so who knows what's changed since then, that Rex Tillerson said that missile launches should not be construed as a change in policy towards Syria. And I was like, this is
this doesn't even make any sense.
None of this makes any
sense. We've never done that before, so how could that not be a change? Like,
but what's Trump's policy anyway?
Right, you're right.
It's illegal.
That's a very good...
Keep the brown people out. Yeah. Keep them all out.
And it's illegal
keep
anyway.
Anyone who's not white out, and then poor people can die.
Yeah.
And I'll just get rich off this country.
Yeah, America first.
That's the policy I understand as far as I can tell.
That is it. Because he's illegal.
Exploitation.
Everything is illegal. Everything he does is illegal.
Look, I jerk off every night to the thought of that man being let off in handcuffs. I don't even watch porn anymore. I just think about Donald Trump and that whole administration.
And you just squirt everywhere.
I don't even have to touch myself. I just come.
Oh, no. You just got my couch all wet.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Just gushing.
Squirting everywhere.
Celia, I'm going to have to get a new couch. That's yes
guys,
ending.
Him in an orange jumpsuit.
Oh. Yeah.
The orange man in the orange jumpsuit.
I'm already wet.
I will weep for days in joy if that happens.
It's going to happen. It has to happen. Like...
I've lost all hope.
I've lost hope too. He'll be here for 8 years. That's where I'm at.
Or 20.
Or yeah.
I'm reading.
Well, the Earth will have ended by then because we're just trashing our planet left and right.
No, I just started it, so I can't talk in detail. But I'm reading a book about Pussy Riot right now.
Oh, great!
And currently, I'm in the very first chapter, which is about how Pussy Riot became Pussy Riot, and. Masha Gessen wrote it, and she's right. She writes about Putin at first, like how innocuous he seemed, and it made me realize how long he's actually been in office. Oh, so quite a long time.
How long has he been in office?
10 years.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Positive 10 years.
Why do they let people be in office that long?
I don't know enough about Russian government. Yeah, I don't know either.
Russia's so crazy.
Yeah. But I
say that I lived in Moscow for 3 months, and that's not to dismiss it. That's me leaning into everything that Russia is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
How was it? Was it drab, dark? Like, what could you do? Did you have freedom, sister?
Amazing. It's amazing. It's like a total. I mean, you can feel the history in the architecture. Wow. Like, there's these huge, like, giant skulls, statues everywhere, and then there are these like Stalinistic blocks.
Wow.
And there are so many homeless, poor people everywhere, and then there the rich, the wealth is off the charts, just you know, next to each other, like this country, but more. And then the like Chechen, that whole system, you know, like all of the people in the service positions are like Chechen, and I don't know, it's fascinating.
Well, it's also interesting because like America, we forget how young we are.
Yeah.
Like we're such a new fucking country.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack. I want to hear about Pussy Riot.
Oh no, I'm not far enough into the book yet to be like,
okay,
to talk about it. Yeah. Exactly. I'm interested in women who aren't afraid, and I happened to be in a bookstore skylight, not the bookstore but the annex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because I the last guy I dated somehow got me into comic books. That's the lasting legacy of that relationship. And so I was looking for Bitch Planet, which is a great comic book.
Yes, I have been hearing about that so much, and I know I need to read it.
You should read it. So the second volume comes out in June, so I've already pre-ordered it. I'm very excited. Awesome. Anyway, Bitch Planet's great. You should all order it. But so I was looking for that and then came across this Masha Gessen book, and I went away to the desert
to write,
and took it with me and didn't start it. And so I finally started it, like, literally 2 days ago a cocktail at the French place in my neighborhood.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I'm not far enough into it to be able to tell you, but I just the idea, like, as we sort of enter a time where I think like resistance is going to become really important. And I think we're getting to a scarier and scarier sort of deeper fascist sort of feeling, at least. I mean, I hate to sort of be like, it's a fascist state, 'cause maybe that's too much, but I'm nervous, and I'm looking to women, because I think women are the people who are often the sort of first
the change.
Wave of resistance. Mm-hmm. And I think like I'm looking to women like that to help me feel stronger in this process. And
me
like,
too.
Like I can, yeah. like
well,
I
that's
feel
what
like
we
I
have
can.
To do. We have to look yeah. at his, like we have to look yeah. at the history
well,
of
you women.
Women
are doing
and
that for me today. Just
hooray.
Like, yeah,
I feel the same.
Exposing your deep mm-hmm. truth. You know, it's like it helps, because who would know we had so much in common? I would never know they called you. What's that name?
Angela Gag Me Gulner.
No, beautiful lady. You know, and you was gag me. What the fuck?
Oh yeah. Well,
so
then I did for 10 years. So we'll talk about that.
We'll get to that.
Or they will have heard that already. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. Well, I think
it's
like
take women. I think too.
Our government isn't looking at historically what happened. So, like, we have to. Yeah. You know, like we aren't. You know, we aren't at all paying attention mm-hmm. to like yeah. how you know how all of these fascist governments came into power. So like we have to as the people. That's like the way to be vigilant right now. I think that's like well one of the ways. There's so much to keep up with right now, but
it's true.
I can't keep up.
I mean, well,
I know.
I was, because I spent the last 2 days, some friends invited me on a spontaneous road trip. So I went down to Palm Springs. It was great. And I spent
you went to Dinosaur?
No.
No, that was last
year. Oh. That was, yeah. And, but this was, so we were sitting there and I was just like very casually tweeting a joke. And then I'm scrolling through Twitter and I'm like, oh, we're bombing Syria. Sorry for that joke. Like, I just feel like I can't get, there's no breathing room. There's no moment where it's like, okay, we can rest in this current terror. Because it's just, there's
it just
a
keeps
new,
happening.
Fresh terror
yeah, I was at work.
Hour.
And it hasn't even
I
been
was
six
at work
months.
And
how long has he been in office? Just
oh,
like every
not
day
even,
since
no,
three
not
months.
Even 3 months. Yeah.
Like every
two and a
day
half
since
months.
Two
and
a half three months. Months. Every day.
Every day is a new night. And it's like five nightmares. It's like not just like, oh, this Nazi is on the National Security Council. It's something, it's like three or four things every single day.
Yeah, I was at work when we bombed Syria, and like it was really fucking difficult to be at, because everybody, I have this specific energy and that changed, and everybody was like, what's going on? And I was like, I fucking hate to tell you this, but we just bombed Syria. Like, I'm sorry that I'm the one that has to tell you this, but it's so fucking hard. It's so hard to like exist and be a human. Well,
and I'm a really big, I believe that resistance comes in a lot of forms and joy is one of them. And I think that like we need to do as much, you know, sort of calling and organizing and fighting and marching as we do like celebrating. And
yeah, for sure. And joke writing.
And joke writing and pussy eating. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real passion of mine. Yeah. And so I think that, I think it's really important to try and maintain that kind of joy. But I also had a really difficult time. Like, I'm sitting in Palm Springs and everyone's sort of like, there's nothing we can do about it right now. We should keep, you know, we have to keep going. And I was like, yeah, but also like, I can't, I'm having a rough, and I think like learning how to balance those things and to forgive yourself for the moments where you're like, sorry, I got to bail on this
I'm
fun
fucking
thing
sad. Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Or the moments where you're like, sorry, I have to bail on the news today.
Yeah.
My brain can't handle it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you just have to be as patient and kind with yourself as possible throughout the whole thing.
I did that at my birthday weekend this past weekend. I was just like,
good. Tune it out.
Not going to write.
You get to enjoy your birthday.
Yeah. I'm not going to do the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to, you know.
I did that a couple weeks, not for my birthday, but for another weekend. I just had a bunch of stuff I had to do.
Yeah.
And I realized the next morning when I woke up that I had not looked at the news in 2 days. And I felt so much lighter and happier.
Right.
Yeah. And I made the promise to myself that on the weekends, I just am not going to look at it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because it's too much.
Yeah. It is.
For your brain. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and I hope that doesn't make me a bad activist. I hope that doesn't make me a bad citizen. But I don't think I'm of any use to anyone long term if I'm constantly.
No, that's the thing is we're in a marathon right now. Like,
yep.
And we all have to like tap out and tap in.
I was just going to say, we got to tap. Someone else can tap in on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That's why when they go away, the soldiers get PTSD. Is it? Because mm-hmm. they're constantly in it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. Can I breathe?
Yeah.
Just 2 days, please.
And then you come and then it's like shockwave coming out of it where you're not in it. It's not like you're like. You know, it's not like.
And I was still just breathing that Obama
out of it.
And Michelle got away safely, and nobody shoot them because that was real. They got death threats every day.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I'm like,
I was so worried.
He made 8 years and they got away. Go away, and he's still just blaming him. I'm like, please leave that behind. And
honestly, like, stop. It's not. Yeah. It's like unsafe.
Honestly,
it's really unsafe. Yeah. Like, he's putting them in jeopardy.
Yeah. I'm like, stop that.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Act Like a Girl podcast. It's been Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we were here with
Celia Finkelstein.
Helen Hong.
And Angela Gallner.
As always, please check us out on Facebook,
Twitter,
Instagram.
Act Like a Girl, TV.com.
No, it's actlikeagirl.tv.
Sorry.
Actlikeagirl.tv. There's a Get Involved page there you can fill out.
Please get involved.
Yeah, send us your thoughts. We want to hear from you. As always, keep being a feminist.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Bye, guys. See you next week.